Good evening. Good evening. All right, there you go. So I was in lifeguard training a long time ago. You can probably tell. And one of the things they said is that when people are flailing, they'll try and drag you down, right? They don't know any better. They want to survive. But that's usually what they'll do is they'll do everything they can to grab you and then, you know, take you both down. So when I knew that was coming and it was my turn to jump into the pool and it was the senior lifeguard, he was doing all the, you know, the testing. And he was flailing around like crazy. I ended up getting the buoy, right, the lifesaver, knocking him, right? It wasn't until he was completely exhausted. He was completely done, right? He had been taken out of the way, let's say, right? His fears had been kind of settled because he was now worried about his head, that I could take him, right? I could rescue him. And so, you know, the point of that story is when we finally cry out for help and we give up, that is when we were able to be saved. And so that's kind of like what the focus is of tonight is. It was going to be on actually what you taught on Sunday. Since that happened Sunday, I thought this was a great way. I felt this was the message the Lord was giving me in terms of like summing them all up together, what we talked about this week, even including Sunday. So if you guys want to turn to Matthew 14, 22, and we're going to go through 33. The topic is a proper focus, fear, faith, and fellowship. We'll go ahead and read it and then we'll pray. I'm reading from NLT just, and sometimes jumping back and forth, but immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake. While he sent the people home, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the other side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After they had crossed the lake, they landed. Actually, I'm stopping there. Sorry. So 33. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, just that last song was perfect. I thank you for just providing that to Rachel. And just ask that, Lord, you would empty us. You would humble us tonight, Lord, to know that you are faithful. You are the one that's going to keep us till the end. Lord, that your goodness, your mercy, your grace, all these things that just represent you will carry us through these storms, these waves that we go through, Lord, and also just be that guiding light for us. We pray that our faith would be strengthened. Thank you for this week. I do ask that Spirit would be moving. Get me out of the way. And Lord, just bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It also says a little bit later that without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I like in that first verse in Matthew, it says, immediately after this, And so this was right after the feeding of the 5,000. A great miracle, right? I mean, just amazing miracle. It says Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross over to the other side of the lake while he sent people home. He knows there is a storm coming. We already read that when we read the whole text. God is insisting that we continue moving forward into any storm that he's given us, right? He knows it's there. And we're not only moving forward, but we're growing spiritually. That's the goal of it, right? James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." He's insisted. Think about your trial right now. Yay, right? But think about also that maybe he's insisted that you go through it. That should change our minds, right? And how we look at not only just that trial, but what he's trying to teach us through that trial. You guys with me? Okay. verse 23, after sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Verse 24, meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Mark 6:45 says that he saw they were in serious trouble. He's still on the land, right? He sees that they're in trouble. It says, the disciples were in trouble now, far from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. How many of us are going through a storm right now? Anybody? No. So a storm would be a trial. Anybody going through a trial? Anybody alive? Okay, all right. Thank you, Steve. Very good, Steve. Remember that Jesus knew of the storm and the serious trouble ahead of time. And rather, like, he didn't rush into it, right? What did he do? He went up under the mountain and he prayed. Like, that sometimes baffles us, right? We're getting into an issue, and yet, like, Lord, where are you at? He saw us, though. He knew we were in trouble. And yet, he still waited, right? And more importantly, he prayed. I imagine, you know, it doesn't say what he prayed for, but I imagine he's praying for their faith, right? So the storms are the trials, and the waves are what we're sinking in right now. So what could that be? That could be health, right? Is our health failing? Do we have anger issues, anxiety, money, sin, doubt, or going through just the motions? What is your wave right now? We know what our trials are, hopefully, and we probably know what our waves are. But when we focus on these waves, right, like Peter, that's when we start to sink. With me? Okay. About 3:00 in the morning in verse 25, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. It's funny, in Mark it says that he actually had intended to go past them. Now, I can't imagine, like, it's not going past them, like sneaking past them, although that would be hilarious. But it's probably more like leading them. You know, God, I don't know why that was put in there, but it's amazing to me that no matter what, he stopped, right? When the disciples in verse 26 saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." I mean, I would have probably messed with them and said boogie, right, to them, but Jesus didn't do that. Jesus spoke to them at once and in a comforting voice said, "Don't be afraid." And not only that, what? "Take courage, I am here." What a wonderful thing to hear, right? Don't be afraid, I'm here. Wasn't that, do you guys remember as a kid having a nightmare or something, and your parents come in? Just their presence, right? Just their voice really calmed things, right? Don't worry. It's going to be okay. I'm here. The longer we commune with God, the more fearless we are. In 1 John 4:17 and 18, it says, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear. Because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. That's our prayer, right? We want to experience that perfect love. We can. We just have to, as we'll see with Peter, cry out, right? Notice God called Peter to walk in the midst of the storm. It wasn't that he calmed the waters first. The storm was still raging. And then he called them, hey, come on out. Come to me, right? And so just remember, like, you are a purchased possession. He's not going to let you drown in whatever trial he has. Whatever issue we're going through, he's not going to let you drown in that. In verse 28, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Where was Jesus? He's actually in the middle of the storm, right? Calling Peter to come out into the middle of the storm. The same water, but right beside. You guys still alive? Okay. same water, right? Same storm. Same waves are probably crashing all around him, but he's right there beside Peter, asking him to come. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, talking about Peter, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. What a beautiful saying, right? Simple, save me, Lord. Thank God Peter didn't say, you know what, I got this, Lord, I can swim pretty good. I've been a fisherman for a while. It's also, if you think about it, a miracle he didn't sink on the first step, right? He made it a couple steps out. But I think the thing about that is, when we have a victory in faith, just remember, that's great. We should praise God for that, right? But always still keep our focus on him, no matter how big or small that victory is, right? If we don't, we sink. that's kind of the basic thing with Peter, right? It's just a visual example of faith in himself, right? So he didn't have his faith in Christ when he started to sink. Peter's scream is just what God wants, though. It's to humble ourselves, right? To cast all of our cares upon him. In verse 31, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? This is, I love this verse. It's God's grace, saving grace exemplified, right? He immediately grabbed him. It wasn't, I'll let you sink a little bit. He didn't, dunk his head down and, kind of chastise him. He did a little chastise him. I imagine this is kind of said in, like I said, a comforting yet disappointing tone. But Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Saving is best done by a Savior, right? We can't save ourselves. We can't attempt to do this by ourselves. Like I said with that example, when the person that's drowning gives up, it's easy to save them, right? That's with us. When we bring our own issues, when we bring all of our what we think is goodness to the table, we're not ready to be saved. We have to give up. We have to humble ourselves. Repent and have faith, right? Why do we doubt? So why do you think Peter doubted? I think the main thing is his focus was on his problems, the wind, the seas, right, and not on Jesus. So no matter what the storm or the waves are in our lives, God is there to immediately lift us out of those waves. In verse 32, when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. I don't know if you've ever seen like the VeggieTales Jonah, but when they throw Jonah into the water, the sea's just like completely flat. And if you've ever seen the surf when it's flat or glassy, it's amazing to see, right? And I imagine it just literally was just flattened. So the question is, though, have you let Jesus into your boat? Have you given him full rein to reside and steer the boat? Storms come and go, but we are only able to have that victory in them through Christ. And only he can calm and heal any of the waves that we are sinking into. In verse 33, it goes on to say, "Then the disciples worshipped him, and they said, 'You really are the Son of God,' they exclaimed." That's the proper focus, right? I love how Peter took the initial step of faith, but this is the proper focus. You are the Son of God. To realize that, right? That's the main point of this whole thing. He is faithful, even when we are faithless. Here's an example. Has anybody ever been to the doctor for something minor? Okay. Has anybody ever been to the doctor for something minor that you knew the solution to it? Like you knew what to get. Give me the antibiotics, give me the cream, lotion, whatever. Anybody? All right. Anybody ever been to the doctor when you were like near death and you had no idea what to do? Okay, we got one. Two, maybe? I think I saw. The first situation, we come into the doctor, "Hey doc, how you doing? Just give me the drugs and I'm out," right? The second, "Please save me." You with me? It's your whole life is given to that doctor, to trust him. You can do nothing. You're really completely in his hands and his expertise. That's that saving faith that we need, right? It's not the first example where we know the solution, we're bringing our own stuff. Here's what I researched, you know. Here's how I get to heaven. It's none of that. It's only by Jesus. So to close out, the waves that we are sinking in, which again is all those things that we struggle with, tiny or tremendous, give them to Christ. Focus on him. Let his presence in your life calm that storm. So I had a final verse here. It's in Romans 8:38. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this night. Thank you that it is not by our efforts that we are saved. We thank you that you do this immediately. You are just and the justifier of our faith, Lord. You save us out of the large and small things. Lord, give us that faith just to trust you in whatever trial that you've given us or whatever fleshly thing that we're dealing with, Lord, that we need to give to you. I do pray that we would continue on to seek you, Lord, to be able to walk on those waters confidently, looking forward to you. I just ask you, bless this night, bless this time of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.